Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I am your host, Ben Burnett, and joining me, as always, my co-host and yours, Lewis Ezekiel. Lewis, it's so good to talk to you, buddy. How are you doing?
Oh, Ben, I'm thrilled to be able to talk fantasy hockey with you. It feels like it has been an age since the last time we did this together. I think because it has been an extremely long time since we've gotten to sit down and just shoot it a little bit about what is going on in the fantasy hockey world.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this earlier while I was doing the dishes. And Lewis, I actually don't think that I've spoken to you. Like, I've been on podcasts with you, but I don't think we've spoken one-on-one since I learned who Carole Baskin is. Isn't that a weird thing to think about?
What a terrible time to be alive.
It's just so weird to me to think that, you know, the two have not intersected. The two versions of myself are very new. I'm so excited. Are you excited?
Absolutely. You know, the pre-Baskin Lewis was young and he didn't know very much. And the post-Baskin Lewis is just ready to go here to have a fantastic fantasy hockey season. So very pleased to be back in the booth with you, so to speak.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to give a quick rundown of what this show will be. You know, Keeping Carlson, they kept the channel afloat through the summer. They did an amazing job. Elon on his beat writer interview series, and then through the summer they had wonderful hockey content each week. We are going to be the between the major weekly episodes check-in for your fantasy hockey team. You know, we are going to talk about hot streaks, injury fallout. We're going to break down transactions, line changes, basically anything that is fantasy relevant that happens through the week. Lewis and I are going to talk about it in bite-sized episodes each Wednesday and Friday. I'm just super excited to be back, be recording once again. Tonight, we are going to kick off season two of Short Shifts by talking about the big news from training camp on the eve of the season. We're going to talk about some of the names on the waiver wire after the draft, and talk about which players we're interested in right now, which kind of players that we are looking to add in some of our leagues. And then we are going to end things off with a Keeping Carlson tradition that I'm very excited to share with the listeners. Lewis, we're going to start with the biggest news of the week, I'd say, and it's probably the easiest one for us to give a take on. Evander Kane filed for bankruptcy, I think it was yesterday, and there was a report at the same time on The Athletic that he might even sit out the season to, I believe, deal with the financial issues. I am not an accountant, so I don't have a take on that. But apparently people got a little trigger happy. A couple people, I saw on Yahoo, a couple hundred people dropped Evander Kane in their leagues. Today it came out that Evander Kane is expected to play the full season, so probably they jumped a little too quickly. Lewis, are you feeling any differently about Evander Kane today than you were when you drafted last week or over the weekend?
I mean, from a personal standpoint, I wish him all the best, obviously. From a fantasy hockey standpoint, this doesn't change anything for me as I'm looking at him. Look, if he's going to play the season, he's going to be his usual self. He's going to be collecting peripherals for you. He'll get some scoring in for you. He's obviously a very high floor player who people drafted, you know, in the top 100, and they shouldn't be dropping him like he's just some scrub at the bottom of the waiver wire as soon as you encounter a little bit of trouble. That kind of panicky decision making is not the kind of thing that we promote here on Short Shifts. We want you to keep a calm, level head. Make sure that you are seeing things through to the end. There's no reason to be bailing on Kane at this point here in the season.
Yeah, it's a good point. This is maybe the gut check at the beginning of the season where we just need to say to one another, like, stay calm, stay patient. There are going to be some rocky moments this season, but if you dropped Evander Kane based on, you know, getting that news yesterday before anything was officially announced, I feel very bad for you, honestly.
You know, people are going to be trying their hardest to be quick on their feet and adaptable this season. It's going to be one where we have breaking news that has big impacts on people's fantasy seasons. But at the same time, you can't make panicky decisions that are going to throw a big wrench in your year. You were careful at your draft. You decided who you wanted. If you picked Evander Kane, it was because you thought he was going to be a guy who's going to produce for you. Now's not the time to get skittish.
Yeah, absolutely. If anything, I mean, you think about it, the guy's got to be playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. Maybe he's going to throw, you know, 20 extra hits this year. All right, Lewis, before we get into talking about free agency options, I just wanted to run through a couple more headlines here. These are on the topic of injuries. We had David Pastrnak back on the ice today, skating in a non-contact jersey. Lewis, did you end up with Pasta in any of your leagues this year?
He didn't fall far enough to the point where I was willing to pull the trigger on him. Obviously a great get. I know a lot of people were drafting him in like the third and fourth rounds. You are going to be very happy with yourself, probably sooner than expected. Some credit to Elon here as a guy who called the likelihood of Pastrnak coming back sooner than expected. It seems like he is on track to be back on the ice within, 4 to 6 weeks here, potentially. You know, we'll wait and see, obviously. Things can change in a heartbeat, but very exciting news for those of you who are able to get a discounted David Pastrnak. I had him on my team last season. He was outstanding. You know, always fun to have a guy like that and be able to pick him up and pull him off the injured list there, and suddenly you're just crushing everyone in your path. So congrats to anybody who was able to get him at a discount, and it does look like he's coming back a little quicker than you thought.
I mean, I agree with you completely. I do have Pastrnak in a keeper league, so I didn't have to draft him this year, but very excited to not have to lose him for the full season. I hate that you're giving credit to Elon for making up a prediction. Like, this, it's not like he was reading special tea leaves. This reminds me of when our pal Dave Benton on the stream scheme started just randomly predicting injuries. It's like, Elon, calm down. Maybe I'm just a little mad because of a prediction or a dart throw that Elon had in tier one of the Cupful yesterday that seems to have worked out. And let's talk about that news next. JT Miller missed practice today. I believe that there's a report out now that he's going to miss 2 weeks of action. And the benefactor of JT Miller not being there, of course, he's on the top power play, top line in Vancouver. And at even strength, Jake Virtanen is going to take over from him. He's going to be playing with Besser and Pettersson. And then on the power play, the rookie, Nils Höglander, famous for the Michigan in, I believe, the SHL. Lewis, this is an argument we got into or a conversation that we had a ton last year. Do you want the guy playing elite even strength minutes, or do you want the guy playing elite power play minutes?
While they're going to spend a lot more time on that, elite top line, and I think it does make Virtanen interesting, I do think just because the likelihood of scoring is so much greater when you're out there on the power play, you know, 4 or 5 times potentially higher than the chance of scoring per even strength minute. I think Höglander becomes a very appealing option for these next couple weeks. You know, but both of them, I think, are really interesting. Virtanen is a guy who provides you with peripherals, so with expanded minutes, that just raises his floor and makes him a really nice potential option. So I actually like both of these guys with some good opportunities to earn you some fantasy points here during the course of JT Miller's absence.
Yeah, I would say Virtanen to me is the more interesting one in a multi-cat league, if you can add him and get those hits on your roster. And he's somebody who the speed is there. He's got a shot. I think he can keep up with Pettersson. I mean, he's faster. He's probably a better skater than Petey, who is more of a finesse player. But yeah, no, I think that there's opportunity for each. Höglander on that top power play unit, as somebody who is coming into the league as a rookie, obviously has a much higher ceiling, I would say, than Virtanen, who appears to maybe be a 20 to 25 goal guy. But I have nothing against streaming either of them in, but in a season-long sense, I like Höglander for the ceiling and Jake for the floor.
Yeah, I think that's a spot-on analysis. And I think if you're just picking the one over a shortened period of time, I think you go probably with the ceiling guy who's getting the power play time. But like you said, if you're getting credit for all the extra stuff that Virtanen does, and with expanded minutes, we'll see some more of that. That could be a very nice pickup if you're unable to pick up Höglander if he's already off of your waiver wire.
Awesome. Well, Lewis, let's move on into the free agency options section of our show. What we kind of wanted to do here is all of my drafts were over the weekend, Lewis. So the waiver wire is just starting to open up. Waivers cleared this morning in two of my leagues, and they will clear in two or three more tomorrow. So I am very excited to start playing free agency once again. And so this time period between the draft and puck drop is always an interesting one. In a lot of leagues, you have an opportunity to grab players without it counting towards your first week transaction totals. You might be a little late for that now, but these are the sort of guys that we were looking at when it came to, you know, these are people who didn't end up getting drafted, but instantly had a smidge more, I'd say they're a little bit more interesting now than they were when I was looking at in round 18 of the draft.
Yeah, they're the kind of guys who are gaining momentum, right, so to speak. Yeah. Like, people are starting to talk about them. There's some buzz. They're moving into positions where they may find themselves being successful and really just trying to squeeze some value out of those extra spots, especially, you know, lots of people are trying to flesh out their rosters now that they've got people put in injured reserve and that sort of thing. So it definitely provides that opportunity for someone with an eagle eye to be able to grab someone in a great position and make some hay for a week or two while they wait for their roster situation and their injury situation to kind of stabilize a little bit.
We made a list of players who are available, and we had a little bit of help from our pals Brian and Elon on keeping Carlson. These are players that the four of us kind of noticed as a common interest across a couple of leagues. You ranked your players, so I'll let you go first. We're gonna go back and forth. You pick the player off of our list who you are most interested in adding if you have a free spot on your roster.
All right, so unfortunately, the player I'm going to start with is going to be one of the more challenging people on our list to pick up. He's only 32% owned on Yahoo, but that's significantly more than a lot of the other folks that we're looking at, and that's Alex Killorn, playing on a pretty solid line, too, with Anthony Cirelli and Tyler Johnson at even strength. He's found his way onto that top power play with Stamkos, Point, Hedman, and Palat. That's still a solid top power play, even if you're missing the firepower of a Nikita Kucherov. But I really like Killorn in that spot. I think he provides a ton of scoring potential from both of those lines. We know that, you know, the defensive side of things for opposing teams is going to have their hands full with that top line of Stamkos, Palat, and Point. So he might have some opportunity skating around with Cirelli and Johnson. I really like him in that spot. And I think, you know, at only 32% owned, I think we're going to see that poke up to closer to 50, I think, by the time puck drops for the first Tampa Bay game.
You know that feeling when you're in a draft and you're drafting second overall, it's a redraft, and you're looking at the clock as it ticks down and you're just like, please let McDavid fall to me. Please let, maybe not this year, there are a few options that you'd be happy to take it to, but that sort of vibe of just like, oh, I really know who I want on this list and I really just want them to not get picked first. And of course, Alex Killorn is by far the best option, I think, that we're going to mention today. As you said, 32% owned. We did look at a few other players. You know, we looked at Patrick Hornquist. He was, I believe, 58% owned. And if you're in a bangers league, I'm super into him now on power play one in Florida. We also talked about Anthony Duclair in Florida. He's gained line one power play one status since a lot of people drafted. That news popped out earlier last week. So, you know, guys like that are higher owned, but Killorn and lower, we're kind of looking at those 33% and lower players here. So Killorn is definitely at the top of my list. If he's in your league, I would go and grab him above, I think, the rest of the guys here. But the second name that I would look out for is somebody who I actually bid on in Tier 1 of the Cupful yesterday, and I lost to Elon. You know, I'm just a little bit frustrated with Elon today because I woke up and the first thing I learned was he beat me on my bid for Dominic Cahoon, 7% owned in Yahoo, playing with Dreisaitl and Yamamoto. We saw how good that line was at the end of last year when they were playing with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I don't think Cahoon is that good, but maybe Yamamoto takes a step forward this year. Maybe the three just are, you know, they're not elite. They're not putting up 100-point paces, but maybe they're putting up 60-point pace from Cahoon, a guy that you could get on your waiver wire in 93% of leagues the night before hockey starts. Like, you're doing okay if you're adding Dominic Cahoon, even though he's not getting exposure to that top power play in Edmonton.
Yeah, I think this fits with your way of thinking about grabbing that even strength guy who's got the really nice line mates and not worrying so much about the power play. I think we're obviously going to see very heavy power play one use in Edmonton. So we're not going to see too much from Cahoon in terms of registering power play points. But yeah, I think it's nice to have that strong even strength. I look at him as being similar to, say, Anita Ryder, who's at about 8%, who's getting line one time with Aho and Toivo. But still on that weaker second power play. That's a great opportunity to get some excellent even strength skating in, but don't love it if you're trying to collect power play points, for instance. So I see Cahoon and Niederreiter as being fairly similar. I don't think you can compare Dreisaitl's firepower with even Aho, so I think that nudges Cahoon slightly ahead. But I looked at them as being very similar tier as I was looking through these rankings.
So, Lewis, you mentioned Niederreiter in response to Cahoon. Is he your next pick on that list? He is on our list, obviously. Spoiler alert here.
No, I actually did have somebody higher, and I'm very hesitant about this pick because it makes me very nervous. But I think if you're in a points-only league, We've got a 23% owned Joe Thornton here, who is scheduled to play with Matthews and Marner, both at even strength and the power play. It seems like in Toronto, they're still going to try for that split power play approach, which I'm sure has a lot of people who drafted Austin Matthews very high, maybe a little bit frustrated. Obviously, Thornton is not going to give you anything, basically, other than assists, but you have to love his deployment. And if you're looking for power play points and assists, or if they are worth points for you in your league, I think that is a lot of value for a guy who's only owned 23%. I hope you still got a little bit left in the tank. Love Joe Thornton. It makes me a little nervous just because we know he's not going to give you very much else. Still, I think I've got him up there. I might toss Hoglander over him, but I've got him up there pretty high on my list, and I did have him above Kahuna and Niederreiter just because you can't, you know, if you're touching the puck and you're on the ice with Matthews and Marner, you're going to get some points one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think that you said something that I definitely agree with, which is this is the spot where I'm like, all right, Hoglander, I would definitely take over Thornton. I think I would go Cahoon over Hoglander just because I see some season-long upside in that second-line spot for him. I don't see an heir apparent to take it from him necessarily in Edmonton. Thornton is somebody who, you know, you prefaced it with this, but I just need to highlight it again. Like, if you are in a league where assists can be super valuable, Joe Thornton can be useful, but otherwise he is going to tank you in so many categories. So I actually ended up drafting him in a bangers league that I'm in, which I almost, you know, never would do, but the top line, top power play deployment just got to me, and I'm in a league with a bunch of Leafs fans, and Leafs, like, hyped up Maple Leafs players are never available in the spot where, you know, Joe Thornton was. So I just felt like, oh God, my one chance to own a Toronto, to get some Toronto Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews exposure in this league. And yeah, but I think I actually wouldn't take Thornton here. And the player who I would prefer to him is almost like the anti-Joe Thornton. It's Zach Cashin, also in Edmonton, playing on the top line with Connor McDavid and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. No power play exposure for Cashin. This is somebody who you're going to take because he has a floor. He's going to get you hits. And I guess he's got point upside as long as he's on that top line with McDavid. But unlike Cahoon, and I'd say similar to Thornton, he does have competition. Like, he's not clearly better than all of the other options to play on that wing with McDavid. And for that reason, I wouldn't expect Cashin to stick there long term. So that's why he's below Cahoon for me. He's definitely below Hoglander, or I'd say he's about in the same tier as Hoglander for me, a guy who could put up some points in the short term, but I wouldn't want to be dropping, like, you know, a ton of fab to try and secure him, just because I don't believe in him holding on to that deployment beyond a week or two.
Yeah, I think we've had plenty of people who over the last season, you know, rode the tiger that is having Zach Cashin on your lineup. And again, you know, when he's got those nice even strength minutes, he can pile up peripherals for you, and occasionally a puck will bounce off of him and go to a really skilled player and get into the net. So that's always nice to have, certainly. But you're right, you know, there's not that same consistency. There's not that likelihood that he's going to be there all season. You have to be ready to cut him when that time arrives. You know, again, we talked about it. This season is going to be a season where you're going to win because you're adaptable and because you're quick and because you're staying up to date. And you know, this is a guy that if you grab him, that's fine. But just make sure that you are ready to lose him when the time comes and that you're not hesitating when that opportunity arises. And incidentally, that's another reason why it's a great idea to listen to Short Shifts, because we're going to have those little updates for you throughout the week between the mega shows on Sundays from the boys. You know, it'll help you be that adaptable, intelligent GM.
What a plug. Thanks for thanks for plugging us on the show that we are already on, Lewis, but I appreciate that. And yeah, I guess it's your pick. So far we've gone Killorn, Cahoon, Thornton, and then Cashin. You have the fifth pick, Lewis. Who are you taking?
All right, so I already talked about Niederreiter potentially being on the same sort of tier as Dominic Cahoon. So if you like Cahoon and you can't get him, Niederreiter might be a valuable option in that same mold. I'm going to go next to Pius Suter. I think he makes for a really interesting grab here, not because there's anything especially thrilling about him, but really that he has this great schedule to start the season. You know, he's not playing on those busy nights. You're going to be able to fit him into your lineup. If you are someone with a really congested lineup on the busy nights, Pius Suter could be a great pickup for you because he's got a decent, even strength deployment here playing with Kubalik and Peary. He might get some time on power play too, but you're going to be able to get him in your lineup for all of his games through this, kind of elongated first week and change here. So you're going to have the opportunity to fit Pius Suter into your lineup and make sure that he is accumulating those points for you, however your scoring categories work. You know, that is a great option. You can pick up the best player available on free agency, but if you can't fit him into your lineup, he's doing nothing for you. And I think that's what makes Suter very interesting in this spot.
I like Pius Suter. I actually ended up owning him everywhere just because of that schedule that you mentioned. So you nailed it there. Actually, shouts out to Elon. This is something that he's been banging the drum about. Pius Suter was the leading scorer in his Swiss league last year. Comes over to the Hawks. It's tough not to get Dominik Kubalik vibes off of him, and that's who he's playing with. So it would be nice to see a Suter breakout, as Chicago doesn't have much else to get excited about outside of that top line. I think that this is about right for him. And honestly, at this point, Pius Suter is 1% owned. The rest of the players we're going to mention are under 10% owned, and it's pretty much a crapshoot at this level. But I think next, if I had to pick somebody, I'm going to go with a player who I think is just on the best line to own, and that would be Nino Niederreiter. You mentioned him already a few times, Lewis, playing with Aho and Teuvo, maybe gets power play 2 exposure. I have read a lot about how Nino came into last year, and this came up in Elon's interview with the Carolina beat writer over the summer. There was just a vibe of him not giving 100%, and I don't think that bodes super well necessarily, but I also think it kind of at least gives me a cover for why it didn't work in the end, and also leaves the door open for, you know, if he turns it on, what is the potential? Nino Niederreiter is a talented hockey player who has not been able to put it together, but, you know, at this point in the season, the league is really getting going. You're getting a player who's got great deployment and skill. So even if you don't, you know, even if it doesn't work out, the cost was nothing. You can drop him. But he's just one of those guys that right before the season starts, you can sort of talk yourself into a best case scenario with him where he can fight his way into your lineup and stick around.
Yeah, I'm up against him this week. I hope that, you know, I actually hope that he does well. I'm a Nino fan. I think that he has a great opportunity here playing with some really skilled players. So I wouldn't mind if he scores a couple points on me as long as it's not match deciding. The next guy I want to bring up is a 7% owned player who I think is a shoe-in to make the final cut for the Masterson Trophy this year in Oscar Lindblom. Playing with Couturier and Travis Konecny on the top line in Philly. He's not getting any of that PP time, so maybe it is a little bit more up your alley, Ben. But I like that deployment. And compared to some of the other guys that we're looking at here, I think that he has a really great opportunity with a strong center and a great wing to be productive. And you know, he's someone that we've seen him in action before. We know that he is a capable player. This isn't just someone who's kind of tagged on to this line here to be kind of a rider. He's expected to be productive in this spot. And I like to see that. You know, it can be fun to kind of grab onto somebody who's lined up with super great line mates and just pray that the puck, you know, comes to them. But I like a player like Lindblom who's going to be, you know, a productive contributor to the offense that top line is going to create.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to forget that Oscar Lindblom had a great start to the season last year, was on a 66-point pace through the first 20 games. I remember talking about him on Short Shifts last year and saying, like, or maybe it was even our previous podcast, Locked On, that it felt as though that couldn't last, but that doesn't mean that it's impossible, and I think that he showed that he's got a lot of skill, and he's a guy who has fought through a lot. This Philadelphia team up front is pretty deep too. So this isn't a situation where, you know, it's somebody who doesn't have a lot of skill getting put up with two great players, as we've mentioned a few spots above. This is a guy who could break out. Like, you can talk yourself into Oscar Lindblom having a breakout season here, and what a feel good story that would be, right? So I ended up with Lindblom in tier one of the Kakupful as a fallback bid. I got him for $0, and it's a lottery ticket that I grabbed him because of the schedule this week, but you know, cross your fingers.
I love that we're going to end up rooting for a bunch of these guys on your lineup here. That's pretty cool. So you're putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak.
I don't love that I'm depending on waiver wire guys, but, you know, it's if they win, then I won't mind.
And it should be noted probably that one of the prevailing themes over the course of our season is that Ben, Elon, and I are all in tier one of the Cupful together with each other. It's going to create some very competitive, stressful moments, I think, but we're very excited to soldier on through the show. We will continue to give us all of our best advice, even in that terrifying week where Ben and I are going to face off against each other. May make for some tense moments, but I'm really looking forward to competing against you this season. We've never actually been against each other in a league before. We've managed some teams together, which has been great, but now we'll get to go head-to-head. Very excited. A little nervous.
Yeah, I feel like we must have at some point been in a Cupful patron group league or something together, but I don't remember it if we were. And now I'm looking at the schedule, Lewis, so that I can kind of psych myself up for when this is coming down the pipe. We play in 2 weeks, Lewis. So,
oh, mercy.
Yeah, week three. Yeah. And no, I'm looking forward to it. It is terrifying, honestly. And you mentioned Elon, but we're also up against like some of the best fantasy hockey players that I've ever played against. Yeah, I'm really excited to win.
Yes, me as well. One of us will be disappointed, but it's going to be a great fight along the way. Maybe both of us, you know.
Lewis, that was all we planned for today's show, except as longtime patrons of Keeping Carlson will know, you have for the past several years graced us with a preseason poem. And we are super excited to have you present it on the season premiere of Short Shifts. This is the first time that we've done this in an audio format, is it not?
I am thrilled to present the 5th annual Night Before Hockey. 'Twas the summer of hockey. All through the arena, the play had progressed, less the barest patina of normalcy due to the lack of a crowd, their voices pumped in artificially loud. With the cup claimed in autumn, deep within the bubble, we foolishly hope for a season sans trouble. In empty cathedrals to heroes long past, they'll lace up their skates, find the slot, crash the glass. In this time of bleakness and pained isolation, the start of a season ushers in celebration for something we can share with friends we've not seen, set for through glowing pixels, cold distance of screens. For what purpose, some ask? For your base satisfaction, a moment's reprieve from bad news, a distraction? You long for the bread and circus of old Rome, conveniently streamed in the comfort of home. But the decision to play lies out of our hands, and once the puck's dropped, we can't help but be fans. And while we're critical, our fandom's not fulsome, we'll enjoy one damn thing that's tangentially wholesome. So Artemi, now Patrick, now Austin and Jack, on Ovi, on Igor, both Ilyas and Mac, bring us all together in the sport we adore. Cherish each opportunity to check on the score. For now, more than ever, we feel how the toll of stress and loneliness weighs down on the soul. Hockey's joy can unite us, so join me to say, Merry Hockey to all. Here's to good health and play.
Hey, that's so good, dude. Ah, I love it so much. I was sitting here smiling the entire time that you were reading that.
Well, I'm really glad. It's always fun. I just want to share my excitement and enthusiasm for the upcoming season. I can't wait to get started. So excited for Puck Drop. So glad to have all of you along with us for the ride. And every week we will remind you to play smart and keep your shifts short.